And a warm welcome to Graham and to Dave, who has joined us this morning, which is great news. And now I invite Graham to continue with our worship. Thank you, Graham.
Good morning, everyone. In a moment, I will move around. If some of the more able of you would like to collect a few of them up for me and bring them down and put them on and light some candles, I'd be very grateful. But we are going to listen to two songs while we do our contemplation and our thinking to give us a focus. They will be I Believe in Jesus and When I Feel the Touch.
Thank you.
Just a very small notice. If I have my mobile phone there, it's because when I looked up from watching halfway through Match of the Day last night, I discovered that my wristwatch's battery had stopped. At that time on a Saturday night, and with Sunday morning shops not opening till 9:30, then I went to check every other timepiece that I'd got, which was suitable, and the only one I could find was this one. Now, I have turned it on to mute, and I will not be looking at it all the time, but I will just so that we're not here until Christmas. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and lean upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I have come that you may have life and have it in all its fullness." And some words of James: "The prayers of the righteous is powerful and effective." Last night, when I was doing my evening readings, I have a book of 365 pieces of writing by the famous German pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I was amazed when I discovered that this was the reading for September the 28th. Words from Dietrich Bonhoeffer in prison, I pass on to you. When we become a burden to ourselves, when we don't want to keep on going, when we are afraid of the mountain lying in front of us, when guilt feelings weigh heavily on our mind, when we feel we've been lied to and victimized by the world, when we need only one thing, we need a person whom we can fully trust without reservation. A person who understands everything, hears everything. A person who bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, forgives all things. We need a person to whom we can say, "You are rest, you are gentle peace, you are the longing and the one who stills." We need a person under whose eyes our suffering disappears and our hearts open up in silent love. A person who gently takes our burden from us and frees us from our fits of rage and from all our fears. In so doing, this person delivers our soul from this world. Now, the greatest of all miracles is that every individual has and can find this person, because this person calls each of us to himself on his own initiative, offers himself, invites us. This person who is our rest, our peace, our refreshment, and our deliverance is Jesus Christ alone. He alone is truly human, and in this true humanity, he is God. Amen. And so, as we gather together, we sing the hymn, "See Jesus, Your Disciples See, The Promised Blessing Give."
Thank you.
Part of our service liturgy this morning will come from the Methodist service book, and we turn to page 408. I will lead you, and David will later with the lighter text, and you please follow with the darker printed responses. We start at number 3. Loving God, in whom all things are made whole, you sent your Son, our Saviour, to heal a broken world. Visit us with your salvation that we may be blessed in body, mind, and spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, anyone who comes to me, I will never turn away. In the presence of God, let us confess our sins. Lord Jesus, you came to reconcile us to God and to one another. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you heal the wounds of sin and division. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you offer us a new beginning. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Indeed, our God is love. Through Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Let us live in the power of the Spirit. Amen. Holy God, you give life to all. You meet us in our need, whoever we are, wherever we are, whatever it is, and bring hope to those who look to you. Give peace to our hearts and minds. As we pray to you with confidence, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. David, would you come and bless the oil? Thank you.
Heavenly Father, giver of life and salvation, bless this oil for the healing of the sick. May those who receive this ministry be made whole by the power of the Holy Spirit through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
If there's anybody who hasn't put something on the board, there are notices down there. Please drop down and put it on at a convenient point. Our God is a listening God. Perhaps we ought to do a bit more listening to God. And so we sing. Listening God, you hear us when we cannot speak.
Thank you.
first reading is from the Epistle of James, chapter 5, and verses 13 to 16. Thank you.
This is the prayer of faith. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you ill? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson is in two parts. It starts with the first part, the first two verses of Luke chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, and then it goes straight into the Lord's Prayer.
Jesus' teaching on prayer. One day, Jesus was teaching in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us how to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, and let's share this together, when you pray, say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the glory, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen."
A touching place. Christ is the world in which we move. Let us sing, seated in an attitude of prayer. The final part of our reading this morning is the gospel continuing from verse 5 in Luke chapter 11.
So the last reading is Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 10. Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one answers, 'Don't bother me, the door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't give up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Thanks be to God.
In our gospel reading, Jesus poses some very ironic questions or ideas about prayer. Would a friend refuse to help a friend who'd run out of bread or sugar, as is the common one where we live? Of course not. But out of friendship, would respond as they could. If a hungry child asks a parent for a snack, as long as it's not 20 minutes before lunch or tea, would they give them a snake? No. Or instead of an egg, like I had for my breakfast this morning, a scorpion? Certainly not. But out of love, the parent would respond as they could. I've met some parents who had to do that. Did they have toast for breakfast, or did they make sure the children had it before they went to school? Because they hadn't got enough money to buy a loaf of bread until their benefit came the next day. Makes you stop and think. Jesus then goes on to say, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open unto you. If you, who are human, know how to give good gifts to your friends and children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Jesus doesn't say, when you'll pray, you'll get everything you ask for. I failed my 11 plus and didn't get the bike. But he will always hear. And the answer will always be what is good for us. But we may not understand. We may not perceive it. We may not realize the significance of it. I remember my dad, I think I've probably told you this before, came up to the children's home because I was preaching at Walton-on-Thames. My wife and little ones had gone to Switzerland to see mum-in-law, who wasn't very well. And he was known to the children as granddad. And on his way back to home from Bournemouth Station, he was knocked off his motorbike by a taxi driver who did a U-turn in the middle of the road and just didn't see him, picked him up and carried him something in the region of 100 yards on the bonnet before dropped him on the road. Fortunately, a passerby saw it happen and an ambulance was called, and for a year he was in and out of Poole Hospital. In the end, even though they tried the latest technology of the spikes going in through the flesh and holding the bones together, it just would not heal, and they amputated. And Dad wrote to me and said, "Look, Graham, you must not feel guilty because you were preaching and I was looking after the children. Because I must tell you this, I've done more for God from my hospital bed than ever I did before." And I have a book in my bookcase written by a colleague of Dad's who wrote this book about the railway line where they were both working, who said that my dad was honest and genuine, a Salvation Army man who would do anything if he was asked to do it. And that was written 3 or 4 years before his accident. And yet he says, "I did more for God from my hospital bed." And then he went on to live many more years with one leg and made every inch of mileage he could out of it. And why not? We need to think about what we pray for and why we pray it. We have to have the faith to recognize its goodness. We need to think about the sense of our prayers. I remember once a sermon illustration given by, it's not a lot of point in saying to God as you jump off the top of a very tall building, or, "Oh God, save me," because to do that, he'd have to stop gravity. And that could mean that many more could suffer. But it's a very simple picture, and I know there's all kinds of connotations to it, but it's just this thought that we need to think about. It always made me smile when I was at Cliff and we had the convention, and it was a day like today when, you know, well, it, in those days we didn't have a prediction, but it was 90% prediction of rain, and one man dressed in his raincoat and his everything and his welly boots and his umbrella stood up and said, "Lord, we pray that there'll be no rain." But he had the faith to believe that he was provided for it just in case. But... and it did rain. So we have to be careful. We have to think about it. We will all have experiences of answered prayer, both exactly what we were seeking, but sometimes the answer is not so clear to see or understand. I stand here because God said no. When I was at Cliff and I'd been done working towards all my GCSEs and get to ready, and I'd spoken to my personal tutor, and Roy Ems had told me that he believed I really would get into theological college, I'd make a very good minister, and I really believed I was going to be a Methodist minister. And I was in a little tin hut with one of my evangelist friends who wanted some people to help with the service he was doing, when God quite made it quite clear to me, no. No. You're not going into the ministry, you're going to teach. And it was a bit of a convoluted way, but I got there. And then I thought to myself, well, you know, church school, great, lovely. No. I got to the final part of the interview process for 2 church primary schools at different times in my career, for head teacher or deputy head. And on both occasions, God said no. And I spent 18 years working in South London in the depths of social need and deprivation and poverty in a school that had no religious foundation. The only example many of those children had about human love and compassion and care was what myself and the 2 or 3 other Christian colleagues were able to do simply by the way that we lived, the way that we spoke, and the way that we behaved. Made mistakes, because we all make mistakes. Prayer is not an easy cop-out, but a sincere request to God, and needs to be acted upon. We have a responsibility. Take Nehemiah. My favorite Old Testament character is Nehemiah. Here he is, a leader of his people, carted off by Artaxerxes and his hordes, and has to work as the cupbearer to the king. And he comes one day into the presence of the king, Artaxerxes, with the cup. And of course, his job is to taste the wine before the king gets it. So if it's poisoned, it's Nehemiah who suffers from it. And there he is, and he must be a bit dubious and a bit afraid, but it's not the first time he's done it. But he has heard how bad things are in Jerusalem and in Judah, how people are being terribly treated. And he's really distressed about it. And he gets to the point where he's looking at the king, and the king says to me, "Why are you sad? Come on, why are you sad? Is it because of me? Because if it is, the implication is that it's treason. Treason is punishable in any way by death and by some very unpleasant forms of death." Nehemiah stops. And he decides that he would tell the king what was worrying him. And he explains how the walls of the city are broken down, all the worship places have been desecrated, that the people were being penalized and hurt, and that's what was worrying him. And then Artaxerxes asks the question, "Okay, what do you want me to do about it?" In the book of Nehemiah, in that little verse, it says, the very next thing he did, "I prayed to the God of heaven." Read the rest of Nehemiah chapter 2 and see just what happened because of that prayer. Because Nehemiah was prepared to act on it. He could see the need of his people, and what Artaxerxes did with Nehemiah's determination and faith. Well, you find out the end of the story. It's a very good ending. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. And I think that would be Nehemiah's monogram. You know that I was brought up in the Salvation Army for the first 6 years of my life. Many of you heard that before. My mum was a very dedicated Christian, very good school teacher, taught me to read long before I went to school. And she had a wonderful depth of humanity and love. She'd cared for children in children's homes during the war. She'd been in Coventry the night it was bombed, serving tea and coffee from a Salvation Army canteen. And she said to me once that the best spiritual holiness preacher she had ever heard was Albert Osborne, who was a former general of the Salvation Army. He'd had a depth of understanding of spiritual need. Because he was going through a time of great personal struggle, he wrote these words. "Unto you will I cry, Shepherd, hear my prayer. Poor and needy am I, Shepherd, hear my prayer. Deep is calling unto deep. Rugged are the heights and steep. Guide my steps and keep. Hear, O hear my prayer. Shepherd, hear my prayer." He recognized that he had a real deep need. And he came to share that with his Lord. Like Job, and more significantly for us, like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." They recognized they had a need that couldn't be solved by themselves. And so, accepting their need, they brought it to God, crying out for help. He continues, "Where the tempest is loud, Shepherd, hear my prayer. Mid the darkness and cloud, Shepherd, hear my prayer. Let me hear your voice divine. Let me hear your voice afar, coming with the morning star. True your mercies are. Oh, hear my prayer. Shepherd, hear my prayer. In recognizing our need of God and overwhelmed by it, we hold on. In the times of struggle, searching for a response, asking, searching, knocking, listening for that voice of God, the Holy Spirit, to reply in us. Jesus said, the Spirit will intercede on our behalf through our prayers. Trusting and believing in faith, God does hear our prayer. Osborne finished. Let the foe not prevail, Shepherd, hear my prayer. My resources would fail, Shepherd, hear my prayer. Order all my steps aright. Carry me from height to height. Yonder shines the light. Shepherd, lead me there. Lead me safely there. Seeking to find the way by knowing it's not possible on our own, we are seeking God's resources, accepting that in our own strength we cannot succeed and need power to lead, God's power to lead us to safety. If you remember that poem called Footprints, where when it was really difficult and I looked behind me, there were only one set of footprints in the sand where there had been two before. And God said, that's when I was carrying you. Wow. Prayer is a deep conversation with God and deeply personal. It can be like Nehemiah's, a quick request for the right word in the right place, or actions in a difficult situation. It may be a deep need that requires recognizing our inadequacies and relying on God to see us through. If we believe in the power of prayer, it will be at the prompting of the Holy Spirit, whether it be a praise or thanks, or to seek guidance from God, or to recognize our own faults and failings and seek forgiveness and salvation. It will be answered by God. For how much more, Jesus said, will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? I close with another set of words that you will want to carry on singing. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Amen. Beauty for brokenness, hope for despair, as we stand and sing about the needs of the world in which we live.
Thank you.
our prayers. They will take a minute or two, because we are here to think about need, all kinds of need. I will group them into small groups, and we will have a time of silence with a little bit of music in the background to help us to focus on what we want to say. Let us pray. Lord, we pray for your presence and blessing on this service. Lord, we pray for you to be our strength and our means of life and all. We pray that you be with us always as we live our daily lives. Bless us all as we pray. God, help my family to unite in love. I pray for happiness in the world and faith and peace in one another. In silence, we focus. We pray for the sick in mind, that they will find comfort in God's creation. We pray for all people in Knapp Hill and encourage them to know God. A prayer for the healing for the many people I know who have difficult health problems to cope with. And we lift David to you this morning too, Lord, and pray for his continued recovery and any others in our congregation who are in need of our prayers. We pray for those families who are struggling with events or circumstances where they need to feel your reassurance and your love. We pray for people who are ill or who have close relations who have died, and we remember all those in our friendships and families and the family of the church here who are mourning the loss of a loved one. We pray for work equal opportunities, for the reduction and dealing with bullying and segregation, for a son to get employment and university and status considered for my son. Lord, help us to keep praying for those we have who refuse to accept your gift of salvation. Lord, make us witnesses through our actions, through our thoughts, through our words, to show how much you love, and may that bring love back to them. We pray for all those who are here today and those who are not able to come. We ask a blessing on them. And we pray for health and happiness for all living creatures in our world. Amen. And if you would turn to page 411, number 15, Christ our Saviour, born for us, bring healing and peace to all people. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, baptized in the Jordan, give hope to all who come to you. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, tested in the desert, give courage to those who are tempted. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, who comforted and healed, bring wholeness to all who are broken. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, who hung in agony on the cross, bring strength to those who suffer. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, who died to save us, give peace to all who face death. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, raised from the tomb, bring light and life to all the world. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, present among your disciples, unite all your people in love. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. The grace of Christ attend us, the love of God surround us, and the Holy Spirit keep us this day and forever. Amen. And so it is, we come to the laying on of hands or anointing with oil. I will ask David, who I'm very grateful that he has made the effort to be here this morning, even though he's not really fully fit, and for all those others who are here because they need to be here but aren't fully fit. And if David, you'd like to explain how you want it to work. Thank you very much indeed.
So just very briefly, I won't, like last time, go to the communion rail because that was a bit too far for some people. I'm just going to stand at the foot of the steps. And if you would like anointing with oil, please come. I'm going to ask you not to name out loud the reason you're coming because of the risk of being overheard, and that probably wouldn't be appropriate. So I ask you instead just to be silently offering your need to God as you come. And I will simply anoint you with oil and say a short, probably one sentence, blessing prayer. Does that make sense? Is that clear? So say, I'm foot of the stairs. Don't name it out loud. Offer it silently and I will anoint and pray for you.
May the Spirit of the living God, present with us all now, heal all of us from all that harms and worries, in body, mind, or spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, our loving Lord. Amen. And would you take the opportunity to share with joy the peace of the Lord together? The peace, we now take the opportunity to give of our time, of our talents, of our energies, and even like my dad from his hospital bed, from our weaknesses too. Could God makes good use of those. We give with pleasure to our Lord. You will find the responses to our prayer of thanksgiving on page 419, number 36. We thank you, gracious God. You have loved us from the beginning of time and remembered us when we were in trouble. Your mercy endures forever. We thank you, redeeming God. You've come to us in Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. Your mercy endures forever. We thank you, holy God. You have sent us your Spirit to comfort us and lead us into all truth.
Your mercy endures forever.
Gracious, redeeming, and holy God, glory and praise be to yours now and forever. And accept these, our gifts, to you, as tokens of our love and our wish to serve you. For we ask it in the name of Jesus, who gave everything for us. Amen. We shall finish by singing, "Put peace into each other's hands, and like a treasure hold it." And our blessing this morning will be sung by the worship group. And I'd like to thank you so much for the contribution that you have made this morning. And then we shall all follow by sharing the grace together. Let us sing, "Put peace into each other's hands, and like a treasure hold it." each other, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore. Amen. I thank you for your contribution this morning, all of you. And I look forward to meeting you all next week, because I see I'm back again. So you've got to put up with me 2 weeks running. But have a great week, and God bless you all.